Feels like I've been away, but it's only been 1 week, right? So we wasn't here last week. But I feel like I have so much to tell you, and I'm not going to be able to tell you everything today because I'm not going to. Maybe I'll tell you some of my experiences in the future. But went last weekend and hung out with my brothers and my dad and Ben, and we did some hiking, and I'll tell you about that later. Mel did a great job, and I really appreciated him preaching last week. If you were here, I understand. I heard him on the internet, and he said I asked him to do James, and he said he wasn't going to do James. So I guess being 74 years old, he's my elder, so I can just say okay. But he did talk about grace and God's grace, and that is a lot of. James, what's going on in James? There's a lot of grace and there's a lot of truth, and they kind of feel like they don't mix sometimes, but they really do. It's a paradox, but really God is full of grace and He is also full of truth. So you're looking at the screen. I can see that, and I'm glad you are, because I kind of like the title. I didn't come up with it necessarily. I got it from somebody else. But there's nothing new under the sun, right? So the title is seriously, like with the question mark, seriously. I don't know if you've ever driven and you got frustrated. None of you guys do that, right? And somebody pulls out in front of you and you're like, seriously? I mean, really? You're really going to pull out in front of me? Or someone's going 20 under the speed limit? No, that doesn't happen, right? Really? Come on. But you say just things like that and not other expressions. But we try, at our house, we've realized that we say it too much. We say this phrase, really or seriously, and it becomes kind of derogatory. It becomes kind of rude. And I'm not talking about that today, but I want to talk about God and how He responds to us. He is gracious. And yet, there is the just side of Him. And sometimes I think we could hear Him say, seriously? You guys are not going to take me seriously? And what Beth Moore talks about in her series on James, she says something that's really, really intriguing, and that is, if God doesn't take this part of what He says seriously, then why would He take serious the others? Why would any of His other promises be serious? I mean, or truth? I mean, if He says that He's a just God, then He's a just God. And if He says He's full of grace, He's full of grace. Right? And so the scary part is, if He doesn't follow through with the serious part, then He won't follow through with the grace part. Does that make sense? So I want to look at James. I wanted to give you kind of a take you to verse 12 of it's not on the screen yet, but the kind of the overview of James is in this passage. If I can find it again. Verse 12 of 1, blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And so James is talking about, all of James is talking about becoming Christ-like, becoming perfect, becoming holy. God wants to work on our hearts and make us pure and make us holy. And so that's the goal. That's what's going on. And so when James talks to us, he gets a little tough. he tells us, okay, this is what you need. This is what needs to happen. He talked about faith, but he talked about it as in, if you don't have anything coming out of that faith, then your faith is dead. If you don't have any deeds, if nothing, if there is no fruit, then your faith is meaningless. And so this morning, we're in chapter 4, and I want to give you 7 observations. Chapter 4, there's 17 verses, but if you ever have read The Message by Eugene Peterson, he kind of paraphrases the scripture. He puts it into 7 categories. And I want you to look at the first category. This is James 1 through 2. It says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way. And fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to ask that you would be here in our presence, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would soften us, that we would be open to your word, that you would change us. Make us holy. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, you can look at the news. You can go online and look at the news, or you can watch it on TV. You can get the newspaper, and you know that there is a lot of stuff, bad stuff out there, right? We all know that. And recently, just a week ago, there was a guy that was working the night shift. And he got upset at somebody, and so he took his break. He went out to his car. He grabbed his gun. He went back to the grocery store. Couldn't get in because they locked the doors. Shot through the glass. Shot 2 people. Then shot himself. All because of a miscommunication, an argument. He didn't get his way. And you probably say, oh, that's not me. I would never do that. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said, James's half-brother, right? James knew Jesus. He was related to him. And Jesus says, if you hate your brother, if you hate your sister, it's just like you have murdered them. And so, perhaps we are not very far off from what the actual thing is happening when someone actually kills somebody. And so James, the first thing that James says in this first passage, if you want to go to the next one if it works, is we're selfish. We want our own way. And that is, we have these arguments, we have these quarrels in our lives, and if we got down to the root of it, it would be, we are selfish. And recently, I was having a discussion with my wife. You see the quotes? Discussion. With my wife. And it seemed like everything was under turmoil in our family. You didn't know that? You didn't know we had fights? Come on. And I realize sometimes when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me that it's because of my pride that I'm not flexible or I'm not willing to listen or I'm not speaking nicely. And so the Holy Spirit says, hey, this comes from the root is your pride. And that's what's going on in James, is he's saying, look, where do these arguments come from. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." And so we get to the next point. James 3. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Why wouldn't you ask God for these things? Because probably the motive is wrong. The selfish motive. Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You are spoiled children, each wanting your own way. And so, number two, the point that I observed is we want our own way. We that's why we have these arguments and these turmoil and discussions is because we want our own ways. And so James is hitting us hard over the head, isn't he? We want our own way. We're selfish. There was this story about a I know this pastor, but he told us the story about a lady in his church who wanted to do something for her father who was dying on his dying bed, and he asked his daughter to do one thing for her, to do one thing for him, and that was he wanted a lottery ticket, and so she went. She was like, "Okay, all right, I'll go get a lottery ticket. I'll do it for my dad." So she goes and gets a lottery ticket. She doesn't normally buy lottery tickets. She's not into that, and so she buys a lottery ticket. And by the time she gets back to give the lottery ticket to her father passes away. Well, interestingly enough, she wins the lottery, $5 million. Now this is a true story. She literally won $5 million in that lottery. And so what did she do? She did not keep it for herself. In fact, she gave, against other people's advice, she gave all $5 million of those dollars to the church. Now, that's pretty selfless. I mean, that's not thinking of your own interests. That's thinking of others. And so when we look at the next passage, Mike, if you could turn it. The next passage hits us over the head again with, you are cheating on God if all you want is your own way. And that lady who gave all of her money to the church, she was doing the opposite, right? She was not wanting her own way. She was wanting to share it with others. James 4 through 5 says, flirting with the world, every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover, and that He gives in love, that what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God gives against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. And do you remember the passage in Numbers that I read earlier? That God is a merciful God, right? The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. And then it says, yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And then we go to Romans 8:1, and we see that it says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's love is great. His grace is abounding. And yet, we find ourselves flirting with the world and cheating God. So the next point that James tells us is we cheat God and we flirt with the world. And we play with that idea. We think that it's okay. And I think in this verse, this is where I see that word that God is saying, seriously? You're not taking me seriously. This is what God says. I didn't write this. God wrote it. James wrote it down, but it's really what God says. And so the third observation is that in this passage, in this chapter 4, is number 3, we cheat God and flirt with the world. In verse 4, it says, James 4:4. Let me turn there again. James 4:4. It says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means an enmity, I can't even say it, enmity, thank you, against God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Do you see that word? Chooses. We can choose to be an enemy of the world, or we can choose to be a friend with God. So we can decide. You know, Satan doesn't have to talk us into, he doesn't have to talk us into sprouting horns and a forked tail, right? To draw us into his direction. All he has to do is to fan our pride. He just has to fan it a little bit. And then we get our selfish desires get us in trouble. So number 4, what I observed, let's look at that passage. James 7 through 10 says, "So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet." And so what I observed there is that if you see the difference, say a loud no to the devil and say a quiet yes to the Lord, and he will be there. So I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes we as people, sinful people with sinful nature, we don't say no to the devil. We just kind of let him like stay right there and, oh, he won't bother me. You know, I'll just let him kind of fan the pride or fan the temptation. And yet, what happens? Because of our evil desires, the enemy, Satan, comes to tempt us, and then we fall into sin, and sin brings death and all that, right? So James is saying, look, you need to speak it out verbally if you have to, say, hey, no, I'm not going to even allow you to tempt me, and I'm going to say yes to the Lord. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Sometimes I don't do that. And then I realize after I've sinned or after I've had my pride get the best of me or whatever, then I realize, oh, there was a choice. I could have chosen to walk away and to say no to the devil. And so the next observation is just simply, we invite the enemy in. when we don't have to. We can just say, no, in Jesus Christ's name, get behind me, right? I mean, that's really cool stuff. And I learned that from my grandma. She told me to tell the devil to get behind me in Jesus Christ's name. Well, the next one. And I have some solutions for you in a few minutes, so it's all right. You'll get through this. James 11 through 12 says this. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, His message, His royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? And so there's a church, I won't tell you who or what, but they repainted their church. It really looks nice. And yet, there were people that were upset that it was going to be these certain colors. And so they left the church. Okay? And what is God saying? Seriously? There are more important things in this world than to say, I'm going to leave that church because they painted it blue and green. Right? And yet, it happens. It happens all the time. People get upset and argue and fight and leave churches and leave families. Right? Because of what? Pride. Selfishness. They want their own way. I don't get it, so I'm going to stomp off. And I'm going to... Right? So, it brings me to the next point. Simple. We badmouth each other because we want our own way and we're selfish. Next one. James 13 through 15 says this, and now I have a word for you who brashly announce, who brag, right? Today at the latest, tomorrow we are off to such and such a city for the year. We are going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You are nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make it a habit to say, if the master wills it and you are still alive, we'll do this or that. You guys know the phrase, right? If the Lord... yes, can say it. God wills, and the creek don't rise, right? So, I've been telling everybody if I graduate from seminary, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, right? So, but James talks about perseverance, and I feel like I'm persevering, so I'm getting there. And so the next point, pretty simply, is we brag about tomorrow and our will and not God's will. Which means I'm in charge, I want my own way, and not God. That's pretty serious, right? And God says, seriously? I mean, really? God is a just God. He is a loving God, and yet He is a serious God. And He says, I can hear Him sometimes say that. Seriously? So the number seven, the verse is James 16 through 17. As it is, you are full of grandiose selves. All such vaunting self-importance is evil. In fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil. And in another passage it says, knowing what is right and not doing it is sin. God has put in our hearts, He has given us a conscience. And He's told us, He's given us the law, He's told us what's right and wrong, and yet we know what is right. And when we don't do that thing that he tells us to do, then that's sin. It's evil. So I'm going to tell you a story about my childhood. And I don't know if my kids know this story or not. I think I've told it. But I'm a skater, in and out. I skateboarded for, I don't know, since I was 7. I can still get on a skateboard and ride down the street and do tricks. Do you believe me? So, skaters have a bad name. They have a bad name for good reasons. Smoking, drinking, all the other stuff that comes with that, right? Well, at the time I was 16, and I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and we lived on 35 acres, my parents' house, and I had talked with my dad about building the half pipe. Now, half pipe is not a whole pipe, it's a half. And basically, it's a ramp. You can go down to the skate park and see one, but that's a small version of what we were wanting to build. We wanted to build an 8-foot, tall, 16 feet wide, 30 whatever long ramp. I finally got my dad to say yes. So because I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and because I didn't have a lot of money, we found ourselves stealing wood. And so my friends had this great idea. Hey, let's just go to these construction sites. And they've got the stacks of plywood. And sometimes construction sites, if you go there and you say, hey, can I have your scrap wood? If you ask them and they say yes, well, then that's okay to do, right? Well, we just had this idea that we had already asked. They had already said yes, and we would take the wood. I'm not proud of myself, but I had my dad's truck, and my brother was driving, my friend was with us, and I was, so there's three of us, and we had stolen some wood, and we were driving away, and someone started chasing us. It wasn't a police officer, it was someone who owned that wood. So, the guy stopped us, well, my brother didn't realize, we didn't tell him, we were stealing it. And he stopped. The guy came to our door, and the guy said, that's our wood. You need to go take it back. Of course, we took it back. But in the meantime, my friend ran. So, guilty, right? So all of this story, what my point is that when we do wrong, it will always bite you in the tail. It will always get you. It might not get you right away, but it will get you. Because God is serious. And when I was 16, I would probably look you in the eye and say, no, he will not get me back, or I will not have a consequence for that. But today, I believe that God's serious. And so James is really, he's saying, look, God is serious about what he says. And you can flirt with the world, but it's going to come back to bite you. And it's not what we should be doing. So we're to the good part. Some solutions. I have 7 solutions that I have observed. Number one. We know what is right and we don't do it. 7 solutions. Ask God. In the passage, the next passage, it says, you wouldn't think of just asking God for it. Right? It's kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, smart aleck, right? Right? But if we have the right motives, right? If God knows our motives, and we ask the Lord for what we need or what we desire, I mean, God created us, right? He created us with desires. The only thing that turns out poorly or bad is when those desires become selfish. When we murder for those desires, or when we steal for those desires, or when we fight and argue for those desires, right? So really, the first solution is what? Ask God. So when we're struggling with a desire, instead of going and doing our selfish thing, we need to say, Lord, you've made these desires in me. Are they good motives or bad motives? And will you provide? So the next thing is, when we ask God these things, we need to trust Him. And so the verse, the next observation is in James, you can see in the blue, it says, and what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. But what? God gives grace to the willing humble. And so what if I just would have asked God for wood for that ramp? Do you think He would have given it to me? Provided? Yeah. I think if it was His will, and if I did it with the right motive, I think He would be delighted to provide for a ramp rather than me going out and stealing wood, right? And so the next point is we have to humble ourselves and say, look, God, I have pride in me. I need you to change me. I humble myself. And so the fourth one, or the third in the blue, is He gives grace to those that are humble. Right? God gives us grace. If we are willing, if we're humble, He will give us the grace. And so the number four says what? Say no to the devil. Just tell him go away. Shoo. Get out of here. In Jesus Christ's name. I don't want to be your friend. I want to be the Lord's friend. I don't want to be an enemy to God, right? I know we all don't want to be God's enemy. So the next solution would be yes to God. Honor and respect fellow believers. You know, some of my family love to talk about politics. It is not fun for me. And you know, if it just, this is just my perspective. It could mean that it's wrong, but it doesn't seem like talking about politics or things like that solves anything. It doesn't seem like it gets anywhere. Because it's like, well, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. This is my opinion. This is my opinion. So I think that's what this is talking about, honor and respect fellow believers. We're all on the same side. We're all going the same way, hopefully, right? If we're not going the same way, then I believe that God says, look, you need to come beside them and talk to them about what's truth. But if it's just this petty stuff about colors of a church, or about whose candidate is whose, or about this medical policy or this medical, you know what I'm saying? Are you following me? It's petty. And I think God is up there going, seriously? We fight about these things? You guys are not listening. So God says to us, seriously. And so the solution is to honor the message, which it says, it's talking about the message, right? God's word. Hopefully we're all sharing the message of Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. And so we're on the same team. Number six is to say, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. God's will be done, not mine. And I think if we wake up and say that in every morning, I think God will hear that and listen to that. And then, so the last one is we brashly announce, if the master wills it, right? Next one. Last one. Do the right thing. In the next verse, in the blue, it says, the right thing to do, if you know the right thing, do it, right? If you know the right thing, just do it. And so James gives us, he hits us over the head with seven things, and then he says, here are some seven solutions. Psalms 103, I'll show this to you real quick. Psalms 103, oops, do you have a Bible you can turn there? I didn't tag it, sorry. 14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. That the Lord made us out of dust. And he created us in the image of God. And so we are just dust. And he is in charge. And so when we remember that, we remember our place, that he is serious, that he says things and we need to listen and to hear what he has to say. I want to end this morning with a song from Matthew, I think it's Matthew West. And I just really like this song. It's just been coming on the radio recently, and it's called Forgiveness. And I think what happens in our lives and our perspective is we forget that we are dust, and we forget that God has forgiven us, and we treat people with unforgiveness, or we treat people with rudeness or selfishness, or, you know, we forget our place. And I think what God wants us to remember is that he has forgiven us, and we should forgive others. Let's watch.
Yeah. to wake, even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
We just ask that you would help us, as the song has told us that we need your help. We ask that you would help us to forgive. Help us to set aside our own selfish desires. Help us to live for you and to let go of things. Help us to serve you and love others like you love others. We desperately need you today. In Jesus Christ's name. And everybody says, Amen. Amen.